All right, you find your seats now. We'll take you through the announcements. With fall starting, we have a lot of stuff picking up here, and I have some folks making announcements. And let me see, if you're making an announcement, could you come on up front here? We got, and just be ready. When I'm done, just come on up. You got that mic. So when I'm all the way up. So when I'm done, you can, you're ready to go. You're ready. They're good. Okay, first of all, look in the insert. On Wednesday night, we're going to do a different series for Bible study. This is the schedule you see there. We may not get through each one every night. It may take 2 weeks. But we're going to do a series on tough questions. And we're not trying to hit some easy questions. You know, how am I to understand the book of Revelations? Where is God when it hurts? What does the Bible say about divorce and remarriage? How will I find the will of God? Why do children stray from God? Why are my prayers not always answered? Will God forgive me for the same sin? Is guilt from God? And how is a Christian to live with guilt? What does the Bible say about human sexuality? And what is the unpardonable sin? Hopefully it would be a good time, a discussion time. But that's a series for the fall. And also starting next week, we're going to have a new class over across the hall there just for the fall quarter. And I'll be teaching that. And it will be on what do we believe as brother in Christ. It'll be on our doctrine, our theology, how we understand that walk with God. This can also serve for a membership class. So if you're not a member and you want to become a member, come on to the class there. And also on this September 12th, we start up the Kids for Christ. That will begin there with a lunch, supper beforehand at 6:30 with the program starting at 7 o'clock. So those of you who come for Bible study, come at 6:30, have a good time downstairs, eating together, and then we'll come on up for Bible study. Okay, now I'll turn it over to you all.
Good morning. I am promoting and the Renewing the Heart. It's a women's retreat conference, one day, Saturday, October 13th. And I have, at this point, I believe, four women, myself included, who are going to be going. There is a teen track, so if you know a young woman and would like to bring her along with us, there is something for ages 13 and up, I believe. So that would be a really great way to spend a day with somebody that you feel could enjoy a day like that. The conference is in Coatesville. It's 8:30 to 4:55, so we'll be leaving here probably 6. Early morning, we'll be renting a van, hopefully, filling it up, and going down and enjoying a good time of fellowship. The speakers are, there's a lot of different speakers. Keynote speakers are Aaron Smalley, Marsha Harvell, and Vicki Bentley. And the cost, we're hoping to get at least 7 women together so we can get the group rate at $54 a person. If that's a hardship for anyone, please talk to myself or Pastor Chuck, and we can make sure that that does not keep you from going. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
Under 30 with kids in elementary.
If you are under 30 years old or have children in elementary school, the church will be paying your way. So we really want to encourage young women to come out and be a part of this. Anything else? Thank you very much. If you're interested, please talk to myself or to Pastor Chuck, and we'll get ourselves organized and make sure we get there that day and have a really good time. So, thank you.
Good morning. So you will also see in your bulletin that there are 2 small group studies being offered at Free Grace this fall, and they are on 3 separate nights. So Money Life is a small group personal finance study from Crown Ministries. And this 9-week course is being held on 2 different evenings so that you can participate in one that works for your schedule. The Sunday evening course will be led by the Wingers, and that begins September 16th. And it's from 7 till 8:30, and it will be held at Ron and Trudy Kiefer's home. The Wednesday evening course will be led by Alan and I, and it begins Wednesday, September 19th, and we'll meet at the church from 7 to 8:30. Now, before you tune out and say, oh, my finances are good, I'm all set with that, I don't need to worry about that, keep in mind that you may know somebody that needs assistance with their finances, or you may be able to glean information that you can pass on to children or grandchildren who are also or could be struggling. The course uses an excellent study guide and online resources to help us understand biblical principles of money management and take practical personal steps. So you will be able to deepen your faith, grow in generosity, ditch debt permanently, create a solid, reasonable financial plan that helps make wise financial choices, develop new habits and attitudes about money and possessions, save and invest in the future, impact financial wisdom to our children or others that we care about. It will not be based on the principles of Alan and Cheryl Nolte and what they think about their finances, or Gail and Garth Winger and what they think about their finances. It will be based on biblical principles. I want everybody to know that. If you would like to participate in the Money Life course, sign up on the table out in the main hallway for either the Sunday or the Wednesday evening service. The student manual is an important resource that you will need. If you are able to donate $20, that will help offset the cost of the books. If you are not, that is also will be covered. So we do not want anybody to not participate in the financial study because the cost would be a hardship. So that the books can be ordered in a timely manner, we would like you to sign up as soon as possible. The other small group is called Walk in It. And that small group will be held Thursday evening, and it will be at the church. And this will be a Bible study regarding issues surrounding the concept of theft in a political context. So theft is a much better, broader issue than we often view it, and is relevant both personally and socially. Discussion will center on the Bible's principles and only secondarily on current events. Issues to be discussed will include questions such as, what actions or activities does the Bible include under the Eighth Commandment? Are the commandments still relevant in today's world? What would it look like to apply the Eighth Commandment to today's economic scene? Does everything Caesar claim actually belong to him, or is he too under God's authority? And what should be the Christian's response to these answers? The study will be led by David Sassman, who is the author of the book Walk in It. If you have any questions about that study, you can talk to Dave, obviously. If you have any questions about the financial study, you can see Alan or myself, or you can talk to Gail, who isn't here today but is coming back. Thank you.
Well, here I am, last but not least. I would like to speak to you about this little bookmark that you have in your bulletin today. It is entitled Recipe for Serving Christmas Joy in Romania. I would like to thank those people from our church who have helped in the past with giving shoeboxes. MBK has been doing this for 16 years, and last year they actually serviced children that they gave 1,046 boxes to six different orphanages that they serve. And so I just wanted to tell you what some of the statistics are, because I think it's important that we know what MBK is doing. I would like to say that for us here at Free Grace, we are starting to collect things for the shoeboxes. We are asking you to use regular size shoeboxes. And we will be having Esther's office be the last day, or be the place where we will be collecting the shoeboxes. When the shoebox is filled, please allow it to be wrapped in Christmas paper. And could you please make it so that the lid is loose, but yet wrapped? Okay, so we want the bottom part wrapped. We want the top lid wrapped in the same paper for Christmas. And we ask you to place at least $6 in an envelope on the outside of the shoebox. That is for mailing, and that's if you have 3.5 pounds, okay? If you have 4 pounds, then we ask you to increase that another $2. For every pound, they would like another $2. On the envelope, on the outside of the box, please put whether or not it's going to be for male or female, and if there is clothing on the inside, let's say pajamas or a little dress or a little outfit for a boy, could you please put the size on the outside? Boy, 2T, you know, with $6 on the inside of the envelope. That would be very helpful. If you have any extra donations that you would like to give for the shoeboxes, you can include it in that envelope. They are asking that if there is any extra money that you would like to give to MBK, that it would be used for distribution once they're in Romania. Also, last but not least, they do enjoy a personal note. Write it in our English, okay, and let them, you can even take a little picture of your family if you want to and include it in that personal note. But that gives the children someone to know that somebody cared here in America. And actually, this is one of the nicest things that they do for the children in Romania. For almost 100% of the children, this is the only thing that they receive at Christmas time. Now think about that. Just for a moment. Here, our children receive gifts from their parents, their aunts and uncles and grandparents and everyone else at school, you know, many different places. But if you didn't have that at Christmas time, that would be important to you. And so we are asking that every child would be able to receive a gift. And so if you could do that for us, to make it easy for you, on the back of this bookmark, we have some of the items that can be used to fill that box. Things such as pencils, pens, erasers, little pencil sharpeners, toys, small cars or dolls, stuffed animals, puzzles, little books, you know, for some of the older children, the word find it's or the, I know some of you use them all the time, the word searches, any type of puzzle book. Clothing would be hats and gloves and scarves. They need those. Even though we think of that as being usually a warm place, they do need those. Socks. I can tell you, socks are absolutely important to these children. They often cannot, they may not have shoes. And so wearing a pair of socks is just, so very helpful to their feet. Maybe a pair of flip-flops. Flip-flops are just wonderful in some of your foreign countries. Then they go into hygienic items such as toothbrushes, toothpaste, combs, picture books, candies, stickers. And again, it does remind you of that personal touch with a personal note. And I just say those things to let you know that they are very, very much appreciated. in Romania, and I can tell you that whenever you see the children's pictures receiving those boxes, the joy on their face is very wonderful. It's something that you, once you see, it really gets to you. You know that they love you and you love them. So thank you very much. I hope that we will have them again. The last date of collection, I'm sorry, is September 30th, okay? And that will be, again, in Esther's office, September 30th. Thank you.
Thank you all. You know, they did a study of with movies, and what they found, you know, most folks that spoil alert, don't want to know the end of the movie, or people won't tell you the end of the movie. They did a study that when you know the end of the movie, people enjoy the movie better. And they pick up more details about the movie when they know the ending of it before they watch it. We know the ending of time, don't we? We know it. And if you read through the book of Revelation real fast, you find out what it is. You want to know what the ending is all about? Here it is. We've won. That's it. We've won. We are on not the team that will win, but on the team that has won. I'd like to read from Revelation right now. Begin with chapter 19, verse beginning at 11, I believe, here. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. You get that? Isn't that interesting? He's going into battle, and what's he got on his robe already before he goes to battle? Blood. But when do you have blood on you? Before you go to a fight? No, you have blood when? After a fight. So why does he have blood on his robe before he goes into the great battle? Because the battle was already won. We're at Calvary, right? The armies of heavens will follow him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has written this name: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we've come this day to worship. The one who has won. The one who will proclaim his victory. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Let's stand as we sing. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Want to keep the music there. On Friday night, Mickey and I had the opportunity to go to New York, and we saw Abby Rock, a cross-country meet. You can imagine the screaming and yelling as all the parents and friends are there going, and that was for a cross-country meet. We're going to sing this last verse again, folks. This is exciting. Crown him Lord of all. He is the one we serve. He is the one that owns us. We have hope for tomorrow because he's the king. When we sing that last verse, forget about being in tune. Forget about what you sound like. Just let it go. Imagine you're in a football game, a cross-country mat, whatever, and you are so excited about your team. That's how we want to sing this last verse. Want to crank it up. Better and feel better, you may be seated. Now, God's given us opportunity now, and it is an opportunity to give. It's a grace he has given to us that we are not bound by our possessions. We are free, and because of that, we can give. Let's pray. Father, this day we give to you. King of kings, Lord of lords, master of all. Wow. And that you are here. And we give. Because you are God. And because you own us. And we have given ourselves to you. Amen.
Number 63, and no need to be timid either.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the ancient of days, pavilion in splendor and girded with praise.
Verse 4.
Frail children, thank you.
go to prayer this morning, let's remember Rachel Shetterly. Rachel had her gallbladder taken out yesterday. Is that right, Steve? Yesterday. Day before, on Friday. And hopefully she's coming home today. And we want to keep her in our prayers. Let's bow before our Father. Father, as we said earlier, the good news is you've won. We don't understand why you haven't declared your victory yet, but you have won. And the life that we live, that we walk through today, we walk through it with the assurance of the mighty warrior, the victorious one, at our side. There's things we cannot see around us. You know, some of the prophets of old, you allowed them to see the mighty forces that are guiding and protecting. We're not alone. And this day, each one of us here have different valleys to walk through, different mountaintops to experience. But there's one that is consistent, and it's you. We really have no idea what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow, and it's you. We know who goes with us through tomorrows, and it's you. And we know who owns the tomorrows, and it's you. Thank you, Jesus, for that assurance that we have this day. And we pray for our loved ones, as you think of Rachel and others who have gone through surgery or struggling with physical, financial, emotional issues, relationals. We're thankful that you're with them. And we don't have to be a rescuer. We can walk with them because you are the rescuer. We pray all this in the most precious name of Jesus. Amen. Would all the kids come up front now? Sit down there. Okay, you're going to climb up and sit, huh? Well, come on up here, Bobby. Good morning. Here, let's sit down. Now, remember, you're a young lady. You got to keep that set. Now, do you guys know what this is? Bobby, you know what this is?
A charger.
Huh? A charger? It looks like it's, but it's not. Yeah. It plugs into a computer.
And then they put it in their bag.
Oh, yeah. Because, see, on this here, you can put information on there. Mm-hmm. You see that book there?
Yeah.
All the information in that book, you can put in here. Mm-hmm. And you could take a whole bunch of books and put them all in here.
Sometimes I like your new sandals.
I like your new sandals. And yours, too.
Yeah, but they match.
Their sandals match. Yes, am I talking at all up here? Let's see.
I don't know.
You don't know, huh? Well, but all that, and what would be easier to do? To carry this or to carry 12 books? Which would you rather do, carry this or 12 books?
Hmm? Put it in there.
And you put this in your pocket, right?
Uh-huh, and then I have to read a book, and then for my year. But now you just read four cheese and then the toothpaste take them away.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, let's go back to this. Now, all that information you can put in here, right? And this thing here is just a piece of plastic and all that can go here. But you know, is God more powerful than this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you know what? God's mind, is God's mind bigger than this? God's got everything in his mind. Do you know that? He knows about everything.
Yeah.
He knows all about you. Everything. Mm-hmm. He even, when before you were born, when you were in your mommy's belly, you know who saw you there?
Uh-huh.
God did. Yeah, and you know who saw you then? God did. Yeah, and you know when you get bigger, who's going to see you?
God.
You got it.
Yeah.
And you know when you do good things, you know who sees it?
God.
You know when you do bad things, who sees it?
God.
Yeah. But you know what? Even though he sees all the bad stuff, he also wants to forgive you. Yeah. Do you know what forgiveness means? It means it's gone. And he wants to help you to be the person he wants you to be and that you want to be.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
So does who knows everything?
God.
God. Who walks with you?
God.
Who wants to help you be?
God.
I'm not done yet. To be a great person. You got it. Okay, let's pray. You do? Here, you want to hold my hands? Father, thank you for your love and your presence, that you know all about us, and you know everything about us, and you love us so much. You know when we cry. You know when we're happy. You know when we're hurt. You know when we're sad. And you come, and you're right with us, and you're holding us tight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you all may walk on out now. The scripture reading comes in the book of Psalms, and probably the most famous psalm, the 23rd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your awesome presence here. Thank you for your grace. And thank you that as we walk through life, there's one with us, and it's you. In Christ's name, amen. Before we start with the message, there's one last announcement I just see, I forget. That be the holiday weekend. There's no services, no Bible study, prayer meeting tonight. So just make sure you see that in the bulletin. Okay, what I want to look at today is a simple thing. Is how to make it through tough times. Because I know if you are not experiencing tough times, you will be experiencing tough times. Because that's just a fact of life. And to do that, I want to share with you Naylor's philosophy of life. Now, this is heavy stuff, folks. So make sure you take good notes. Okay, number one in my philosophy of life. Life is often unfair and confusing. I don't know if you found that out, but again, you will find it out. Life is unfair. Now, as one parent has told their son or daughter that something was unfair, and they said, the only thing that's fair is the fair, and that's where pigs go. But you know where pigs go after they go to the fair, don't you? It's unfair. I grew up in high school, especially with a gentleman named Vance. I've talked about him. Vance was like a father to me, a grandfather to me. Vance had a PhD in cussing, unique individual. Vance probably smoked 1 to 4 packs of cigarettes a day. Vance is deceased now, but he did not die from lung cancer. Two churches ago, I walked with a lady through lung cancer. Phenomenal lady. And that lady, all of her life, had never, ever smoked one cigarette. And here she was, dying of lung cancer. Vance lived to about 76 or 80, and he died in a house fire, so it wasn't anything internal that killed him. Here he was, smoking 1 to 4 packs a day, and his lungs were healthy. Life is unfair, isn't it? Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. And in that, it's confusing. I don't know about you, but I never or very seldom am 100% confident about any decision I make. I used to be, but the older I get, the more I've discovered I don't know what I'm doing. I'm more confused than I realize. Life is confusing. I like this cartoon, if you can see it. The guys come up and the fellow goes, "Look out! Quick, BC, play dead. He won't have interest in you." Boom, sniff, sniff, he walks away. Then come along these birds. "Quick, be alive again. They won't have interest in you. Get out of here, get out of here. Quick, play dead again. Here he comes." It's going to be one of those days. Isn't that what it feels like sometimes? The very thing you do to take care of something turns out to be the very thing that causes something else to happen. And life sometimes, I found, is like a game of solitaire. Anybody ever play solitaire? You know, you really don't know what you're doing in solitaire, do you? I mean, there's some games you can really have a strategy, and you can try to have a strategy in solitaire, but you know what? You have no idea what's going to happen. You have no idea. You just make a wild. And I found with solitaire, you can just play without thinking and do just as well as if you think. Because you don't know. Life is confusing. Life is hard. It's sometimes like this, doesn't it? That it's in a dark tunnel and you don't know where to go. And you do, you see a light in front of you, think, okay, there, I know where to go. And that light gets bigger, and you think, all right. And it gets bigger, you think, all right. And then it's a train. Yeah. You know, at one time, what happened to page 2? I have no idea. Hold on a second. Pages are sticking together. There we go. Okay, point 2. When life gets tough, your faith will not sustain you. You ever heard people say to you, "Hang on to your faith"? Heard that phrase? Tough time, hang on to your faith? I've discovered something in my life. I've come to the conclusion that saying means absolutely nothing. You see, when I first became a Christian, I can remember how I felt like I could conquer the world. And that Jesus was with me, and I could face anything. And I would hear about struggles that people were going through and how hard the times they had and how hard it was for them and how discouraged it was for them. And I used to think, you know, that will happen to me someday. But I have found Jesus. And you know what I am now? I am super saint. And that was a vision I had of myself. And I find that's the vision of many folks when they find Christ. They begin that walk. The super saint. I can handle anything the world throws at me. But then, as life goes on, this is what I've discovered. I've discovered this. I'm wimpy saint. I am not super saint. My faith isn't as strong as I thought. And when things get rough, I fall down. And I want to give up. I want to quit. And I feel like this sometimes too, like Ziggy here. He goes up to this guy on the mountain for see him, and the guy said, I don't have time for person-to-person stuff. Just check out my meaning of life in my blog. I feel like that sometimes with prayer, don't you? We were at a minister's retreat a number of years ago, and our denominational head was our speaker, and he had his iPad up there. And we get ready to go to prayer. And none of you know anything about iPads, you know, Apple has, who's that you can talk to that you can say, and she looks things up on the internet for you? Huh? Siri, yeah. And Siri talked back to you at times. Well, where we were at, there was no internet connection. And he had his iPad using that for his notes. And just as we go to prayer, he hits something that caused the connection to try to go through with her. And just as we go to prayer, he goes, let's pray. And it goes, sorry, cannot make that connection at this time. Perfect timing. But that's how I feel when I hit those tough times. You know, listen to some of the Psalms, David. And he echoes that. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long would you hide your face from me? Or Psalm 89:46. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? From Habakkuk. How long, Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Or cry out to you, violence. But you do not save. C.S. Lewis, and I don't know if any of you ever read C.S. Lewis's stuff. Phenomenal mind. He was a teacher in Oxford, over in England. Just a phenomenal man. Phenomenal Christian. One of the best of the 20th century, probably one of the best Christian minds that existed at that time. And if you ever read any of his books, they're so deep and so full of insights. He could also write some really easy things. The Chronicles of Narnia. Have you ever read the Chronicles of Narnia? If you haven't read the Chronicles of Narnia, you need to read them. Chronicles of Narnia, it's a fantasy, but full of Christian symbolism. Fantastic. He wrote them to read to his niece and nephews. And this man, he wrote some great books about helping us to understand pain and suffering. Some great theology there. Phenomenal. Lewis was single most of his life until around the age of 50. And then he got married. And about 4 years after his marriage, she died of cancer. Lewis was very faithful at keeping a journal. And later on when he died, with permission of his family, his stepsons, they took that part of his journal during her struggle with cancer and then her death. They took that and made it into a book called A Grief Observed. I want you to hear from this great man of God. When he's going through that dark time, the wife that he loves so much how he'd been single for so long and finally found somebody. He lost her. Listen to what he says. Turn to God when things are their best and he meets you with open arms. Turn to him when things are their worst and you'll hear the door slam shut and the bolt slide across, never to be open again. At first we say, how can you say that as a man of God? But then we slow down. If any of us have been through that valley, we may never have said those words because we're afraid how people will think. We have felt them. Where are you, God? Where are you? And our faith is, seems like it slips through our fingers. But, now this is that word, B-U-T, is a powerful word. It's a powerful word. That, you know, you can, husbands, let me help you out here for something that I've learned from trial and error. Is when you have a disagreement with your wife or you're talking about something and you say all these good things about positive things, then you go, but, and you'd say this over here, you're done for. Because once you say the word but, it eliminates everything you've said before. It's gone. All exists is this. So if you're going to do it, you put it the other way. So the bad stuff comes before the word but, and the good stuff comes next. It's much safer that way. And so that when we say the word but, we're saying that, okay, everything we've just said is true, but there's something else that's more powerful, except for the facts, except for these facts here. First, I want us to look at our saints. What did our saints do when they went through tough time? And mainly look at Abraham and Moses. Now, Abraham, when things got tough, what did Abraham do? Well, you know, remember Abraham, God called him. He heard the call of God and he followed God. And he went to another land and God made all these promises to him. And then, now there was a famine. When he got there, now there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Man, can you imagine the coldness in the bed that night? So how did Abraham respond when he hit tough times? He left the land God sent him to. He left it. God sent him here. I'll take care of you. Things are tough. What does he do? He runs away. What's the next thing he does? He lied. And he puts his wife in danger. That's what one of our saints did. And really, the first person God really worked with to begin the foundation of what we know now. Things got tough. That's what he did. Moses. Let's look at him for a second. Remember Moses? You know, when Moses was born, the Egyptians had sent a word out, the Pharaoh did, that every little boy that was born, he's to be killed. But his mother, when he was born, his mother made a little basket and put him in it at the River Nile, and down he went to try to save his life. And Pharaoh's daughter saw him, and she fell in love with the little baby, and she picked him up and decided to keep him. Then a slave girl ran up and said to her, I know someone will help you take care of her. And he said, well, go get him. So the little girl is Moses' sister, and she runs to get Moses' mother. So Moses' mother gets to raise her own son, who she thought would get killed, and she thought she'd never see again, who's now the grandson of Pharaoh, but she gets to raise. And so Moses grows up in Pharaoh's household, learning all the knowledge that could be learned at that time. Moses was an outstanding man because he was right in Pharaoh's line there. But he learned from his mother that, you know, Moses, you're being raised here, but you really were a Hebrew. And one day he saw a Hebrew slave being beaten, and Moses comes up to stop it. He ends up, he kills the Egyptians who's beaten that Hebrew slaves, and he hides the body so word doesn't get out. But he discovers they know about it. The word's out. So Moses fleds. He runs to the desert. And in the desert, he just kind of hides out for years. And he finds a wife, and he's working out there as a shepherd. And one day, he sees a bush burning, which was common in the desert, but this bush kept burning and burning, and he goes up to it to see what's going on. And when he gets there to that burning bush, God speaks to him. Moses heard the words, the voice of God. How awesome! Wouldn't that strengthen your faith? You heard God speak. And then, not only that, Moses said, I don't fully believe, you know, I'm scared, God, how can I go do this? How do I know that you're powerful enough to lead me? And God said, Moses, take your hand and put it in your shirt. So he puts his hand in his shirt, he pulls it out, and it's got leprosy on it. God said, put it back in. He puts it back in, and it's clean. He sees God do these great things. Then he goes into Egypt. He speaks to Pharaoh, and God starts doing some great things then. And you know, the plagues start. And when these plagues start, you know, it begins to affect the Hebrew people too a little bit. And we find that he spoke with Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh responded to the people. Then the people responded. They were mad at Moses. And listen now, after Moses has seen all this stuff, great stuff, and heard the voice of God, when the people get upset and turn on him and things are looking not good, listen to what he says. Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. What does Moses do in tough times? He complained, and he even doubted that God was going to work. Here's the common pattern you find about the saints in the Bible when they hit tough times. They fell apart. Their faith did not sustain them. And they discovered that they were not super saints, but they were wimpy saints. But, except for the fact listen what God says to Moses. Now you will see what I would do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand he would drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, I say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty hands of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as possession. I am the Lord. To Abraham, look at what he says. After Abraham complained and did what he did, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the people of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now aliens, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Look at the common words in these. My mighty hand, I also establish. My name, I have heard, I have remembered. I will bring, I will free, I will redeem, I will be. I will take you, I will bring you, I will give you as a possession. To Abraham, I will make you, I will make you, I will bless those, I will curse. See that pattern there? It's I will, I will, I will. Our saints in the Christian faith discovered that when God called them to do something, and even when they saw him and they were all enthused to follow him, when things got rough, they fell apart. And they became wimpy saints. And their faith could not carry them. But what they discovered, it wasn't their faith that would do it. It was him. I will. I will, he says. I will take you through it. Naylor's philosophy of life. Life is often unfair and confusing. Second, your faith is not strong enough to get you through it. It will not sustain you through the tough times. You do not have enough faith. And you are not strong enough with that faith, period. But, three, he is faithful. He will sustain you. He will carry you. He will be your strength. He will not leave you. It is not your faith that will carry you through tough times. It is his faithfulness. C.S. Lewis, a man who had it all together, his whole life crumbled before him, and his faith fell all to pieces. But he discovered something. He discovered the reality of the 23rd Psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And notice it doesn't say, I fear no evil because I'm with you. It doesn't say, I fear no evil because I'm holding your hand. It doesn't say, I fear no evil because my faith is so great. No, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You've got me. You're holding my hands. We have three children. You've met Abby many times, and you've met the other two just slightly. And you know that there is an age gap, about 8 years. And Abby's biggest goal in her life when she was little was to be just like her brothers. She, even one day, we're getting ready to go. Tomorrow, next day, they'll get our directory pictures taken. And so Mickey cuts the boy's hair. And Abby is about 3 years old, four. She gets the scissors, and she goes in the bathroom. The day before the directory. And she cut her hair so she looked just like her brothers. Now, when she was little, and we go places, whether it be heavy traffic, we hold Abby's hand. But we wouldn't hold her brother's hand. And Abby get mad because we didn't hold theirs. So why should we have to hold hers? And she would scream sometimes. And she would jerk. And she would pull. But she didn't get loose. You see, when we were in dangerous places like that, if we were hiking among cliffs, heavy traffic, Abby didn't have my hand. I had her hand. And it's a tremendous difference. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I fear no evil. Why? You are with me. Life is unfair and confusing. You are not strong enough, and your faith is not strong enough to get you through. But He is faithful. Greg and Wanda, could we sing that "Great is Thy Faithfulness" to close with? What page number is that? Page 24. This is our strength. This is our hope. This is our promise. This is what sustains us. He is faithful. Greg.
Why don't we stand together?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be.
pages echo over and over again within your head. He is faithful. No matter what comes, no matter what you go through, no matter who comes at you, He is faithful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.